to America, where you can go to jail for saying the N-word to the wrong person. Who's the wrong person? Anybody of color who decides that you're a racist. Welcome to the show, everybody. Today we are covering the trial of Shiloh Hendricks, the Iron Maiden who went viral last year in Minnesota after an attempted robbery by a 10-year-old Somali pirate went south because Shiloh caught the 10-year-old going through her handbag and apparently called him the N-word. But that's not where her trouble came in. Her trouble came in when the head pirate leader, some man in his 30s who was wanted on previous SA charges against a young teenage girl, also Somalian, saw Shiloh calling this 10-year-old Somali pirate the N-word and decided this was his chance to get famous. Because he's been watching TV, he's been watching Hollywood movies, and he knows that if you're black in America, the best thing you could do is accuse a white person of racism, and it means instant fame and riches. Now, our Somalian didn't really get any fame, and actually, Shiloh got a fundraiser for over $800,000 in which she was able to move her family out of Somali-pirated neighborhood of Minnesota and hopefully to a more white neighborhood where she will not have to interact with such fellas. But this year, she is facing two counts of disorderly conduct in which the DOJ in Rochester, Minnesota is alleging that she said fighting words, which could be perceived as inciting violence. You heard it, guys. And therefore, she could face 90 days in jail or a $1,000 fine. Now, obviously, we don't want Shiloh doing any jail time. We also don't want her paying a fine because it's about the principle of the matter. Thought this was America. God damn it. If this is America, then why are we trying a white woman for saying a no-no word to an immigrant and his thieving squad of underage Somalians just because they got their feelings hurt? I'll tell you why. You may have noticed that the mood has changed in America. It has soured, if you will. If you were a white person, it's like you're walking around with a target in your back where everybody looks at you and goes, I know you're no good racist. Well, they wouldn't talk like that. They'd be like, yeah, no, y'all good, no good racist. So we gonna kill y'all fool ass. I don't know what I'm doing there, but there is definitely the sense that you are automatically guilty if you're white, and this is not in your imagination. In fact, it's coming down the pipeline from every Hollywood movie, every TV show, every commercial, CNN, MSNBC, even Fox News, even the freaking conservatives. Even the conservatives got to get their token blacks, and they support Vivek Ramaswamy for the election in Ohio because being racist apparently is the worst thing you can be in the world, and that is because it's the worst thing you can be to our overlords who want everybody deracinated, except for themselves, of course, who have fierce tribal loyalty and will never tell on themselves and will always help their fellow members. But they don't want that for you, and they want to see the Europeans completely destroyed and reduced to nothing but a memory. So this is what the Shiloh Hendricks case is about, and everybody should be paying attention because this whole case is really just supposed to be a message to white people. You don't own your country, and if we want to, we will use your own laws against you to prosecute you for things that are technically not really illegal, all while we allow the and the murderers of brown skin to roam freely in your streets because, after all, they're doing what we want them to. So let's get into the case a little bit. If you guys are not familiar with it, we've got some footage here for you. Here's our guy. This is our guy, Sharmake Bail Omar. Why is this guy in this country? Someone tell me why he's in this country. His face looks like a very p***able face. I don't know if I'm allowed to say that, George, but you figure it out. That's your job. You're the editor. But he's got a very, very p***able face. And he's extremely annoying. If you guys didn't see the video, I'm going to play it for you right now. But he's the one who filmed and provocated Shiloh when he caught her on the playground telling the little 10-year-old Somalian to stop stealing things outside of her son's diaper bag. So we're going to go ahead and watch that. Give me one second.
Did you call him the child?
The fuck you talking
about? Did you call the child word? It is my own business. You call
me?
Okay, why don't you have the boss to say it right now again? Okay. All right, that's what you say. You call him the...
This guy, let's take a look at him for a second. Sharmake Bail Omar. Let's see if we can find some information about this guy. The guy who was filming Shiloh, who was provoking her to say the N-word so that he could get her in trouble, was actually arrested on pedophile rape charges previously in Minnesota, and all of the charges were dismissed because he was black and an immigrant. You can look it up. Here is the state's dismissal of complaint. Okay, he was charged with criminal sex conduct, third degree, penetration under 18, that is rape of a child, thank you, rape of a child, use, coercion, criminal sexual conduct, fifth degree, penetration, non-consensual for the following reasons, in the interest of justice. What does that even mean, that they were dismissed in the interest of judges? And I remember when this came out because, of course, the internet did its digging and they found out that this guy had actually SA'd a young girl and she had reported it. She was Somalian as well, so you couldn't even call, like, this was racism or something like that. He just literally was doing what he would do in Somalia. Him and his brother led this girl to their trailer and they both SA'd her. And those charges were dismissed in the interest of justice. And we all know that means, right? That means because, hey, that's why we brought these guys in here, so they could do crime. So this is the guy that the Minnesota DA is relying on for their case. And before we get into the case, because it's like, hey, what charges are they actually using to try Shiloh? How can they do this? Well, turns out that they've been breaking the law for a while. But let's go ahead and take a look at who these guys are. Here we are. These are the people trying Shiloh right now. Left, we've got what looks like a beta gay, Michael Spindler Krage, from a Rochester city attorney. He's the one who brought the charges against Shiloh. You could tell he's just fiending for revenge against the white women. In the middle, we've got the lead prosecutor, Nicholas Chabel, okay, you know he's all into this. And then on the right, we got the fat, ugly, feminist judge, Krista Daly, who is probably so excited that she can get her revenge on a white woman who is more attractive than her. So this is who has brought this case, which, by the way, should have been thrown out. They should have arrested the Somali for harassing one of the citizens. Like, if this was a proper country and an immigrant was harassing your women, that person would be arrested and deported as the nice option. And I can't say what the just option is because I am on YouTube. Speaking of which, go to my website, leonardaisfunny.com, and sign up for my premium membership where I don't have to censor myself and I can tell you exactly what we should do with these people. This week, you can watch my video on Black Kangs, uncensored, uncut, and raw, where I explore why blacks feel like they built America and what it's really about. And I put that one specifically on my website because I know that putting on YouTube would get me banned, and I wanted to talk freely about the problem we're not allowed to talk about. So go check that out if you want to see that. So let's get into what this case is and what's going on and where they're actually bringing these charges up against her from. Okay. Oh, it was in 1942. The Minnesota Supreme Court in Chaplinsky versus New Hampshire. Okay, I guess there was a case by the Supreme Court in Chaplinsky versus New Hampshire in 1942, right here, which is where they first started attacking and stripping the First Amendment, because they had a place where when words by their very utterance inflict injury or tend to incite an immediate breach of peace, then suddenly the First Amendment protection no longer applies. This is just bullshit. This is the linguistic loopholes that they create to rob you of your God-given protections. So from 1776 until 1942, you had the First Amendment protecting your right to free speech. And there was nothing, no such bullshit as when words by their utterance inflict injury. Please, for the love of God, someone tell me how words inflict injury in one case and in not another. Do we not see the slippery slope that this could be? That I could say, I'd like my morning latte real milky because I don't like black things. And somebody could go, oh, I've been injured. I've been injured by the racism, inherent racism in your words, and I could be put in jail. And that is the point. That's the whole point. So there is your first attempt to strip the First Amendment protections with this bullshit. And then now we're in a situation where you have things like hate speech laws, hate crimes. All of this is downstream of the early unraveling of the Constitution, a Constitution that was made, coincidentally, by white men for white Christian moral societies. It was never meant to govern rabid Somalian pirates who don't even know how to have running water. Whoever does any of the following in a public or private place, including on a school bus, knowing or having reasonable grounds to know that it will or will tend to alarm, anger, or disturb others, or provoke an assault or breach of the peace, is guilty of disorderly conduct, which is a misdemeanor. 1, engaging in brawling or fighting, or 2, disturbs an assembly or meeting, not unlawful in its character, or 3, engages in offensive, obscene, abusive, boisterous, or noisy conduct, or in offensive, obscene, or abusive language tending reasonably to arouse alarm, anger, or resentment in others. You guys see what I mean? Like, why in the world do we have a law that says, basically, if your words hurt someone's feelings, you can be tried for that? We're supposed to have the First Amendment where you can say and do whatever you want. And now they're using it, of course, to protect their pets, their colorful pets from the third world, who get here and somehow automatically are experts in our law and in how to weaponize it against us. Like, where are they getting these? Are they going to like Jew training classes where they teach them, like, by the way, you're here to get whitey, and here are the laws you can use. Get them to call you the N-word, get it on camera, and our tribe members in the criminal justice system will do the rest. Because honestly, that's what it feels like. I don't understand. Seriously, I don't understand. Because like everybody knows, my parents were first generation, and literally I was stalked by a pedophile for like 3 years of my life from the ages of 8 to 11. And my parents were like, we don't have any rights here. So if you get molested, it's on you. And I was like, okay, I'm not going to get molested and I have no legal protections. Got it. But somehow these Somalians get here and automatically they know how to set up fake daycares. They know how to entrap white chicks into calling them naughty words. They know how to get out of charges after they have SA'd girls. They can get out of the what is going on? Will somebody, you know, I need a hero. Maybe he tried to paint and he can't paint anymore. We don't care. We need a hero. Somewhere, there's a man who tried at a dream. Maybe he tried to be a painter. It's the modern age. Maybe he tried to be a filmmaker. Maybe he tried to be an actor and he was shut out. He was shut out by a group that is highly nepotistic and didn't like his kind. And now he's in a gutter somewhere, living out of a shelter home, watching the degeneracy around him, watching both political sides being controlled. And maybe he tries a protest and gets arrested and gets thrown in jail. And that's the first time he really has a chance to think about, what am I going to do for my country? And maybe he writes a book. Maybe he writes a book while he's in there and he calls it My Difficulties, My Yearning, My Overcoming, My Struggle. I don't know what he's going to call it. And maybe he rises up as the hero and says, hang these. Let's remember to support our sponsor, AntelopeHillPublishing.com. Antelope Hill is doing the work that Barnes & Noble will never do. You'll never find these books at Barnes & Noble. If you want books about gay bakeries and how to do those and showing your kids transites and claiming that they're totally normal, then you should go to Barnes & Noble. But if you want books about how to stop all of that, you got to go to AntelopeHillPublishing.com. Don't forget to use my promo code for a discount. They've got a couple of new awesome books. This is the one that I've really been hyping up. It's called Germany and Stalin's Crosshairs. I think this is a really important book for people to read if they really want to understand exactly why Germany went to war and how it really was about stopping the spread of communism that was destroying Russia, was threatening to destroy Germany and all of Europe, which we now see it has successfully done. So support Antelope, for the love of God. Buy a book. I don't care if you don't read it because you can't read. Send it to some Somalians in Minnesota and say, soon, do what you want. What I'm saying is, if such a character were to arise, let's just say, in multiple countries in the West at this moment, there would be no one to fight against them because there isn't another America that could be subverted and used as a weapon for this one nepotistic tribe that helped us destroy all of Europe, and now we're all suffering. You need to understand what I'm saying without me having to say it, for the love of God. I don't know what it is. I don't know when it's going to happen, but something's got to give, because we can't just keep having these third worlders coming in here with an entitlement and attacking our women, attacking our children, and then using the legal system against us. Like, this just can't happen. We just got to be done with it, because this is absolutely atrocious. So we're gonna go through... I like this guy, Daniel Konkan, and he did a great breakdown, which I'm going to read to you guys, about exactly what's going on and what this trial about Shiloh, which we all know, right? This trial against Shiloh Hendrick isn't because she said a word. It's because she's white and she dared to recognize the race of the perpetrators who were attacking her and her child, and she didn't shrink. And they don't want that. They want to break you, and they're trying to break her. It's what they did with Daniel Penny. The New York City subway case, when you had the Michael Jackson impersonator who was really just like a schizophrenic going around like threatening to stab people on a New York City subway. And Daniel Penny subdued him, and then the guy ended up dying, and they were like, he used excessive force. And everybody on the train was like, he should have used more force. We should have kicked him when he was down. But that was a message to all the white men in America. It's like, don't be a hero, because we're going to make your life miserable. And that's what they did to him. And people got the message. People got the message because shortly after that, there was another attack and nobody did anything. And who could blame them, right? Who could blame them? Because when your heroes are treated like your villains, don't be surprised when the villains start running Gotham. It's really, it comes down to that Shiloh supposedly said fighting words. Okay. Now I do want you guys to remember that the Somalian behind the camera, who I read his case behind, actually provoked Shiloh into saying the no-no word. And so even on that grounds, the Minnesota Department of Justice doesn't have a case. Like, if we had any kind of proper judicial system, these charges would have never been brought. They would have watched the video and go, oh, you provoked her to say it. Because the whole idea behind this violation, this unconstitutional rule, where if your words are provoking a fight, can't even be applied because you provoked her to say it. So who's the one inciting a disturbance of the peace? I wish I could be Batman. You know what I'm saying? I wish I could be Batman. I would take a trip. I would take a trip to Minnesota. And I would Batman it. You know, I'd find this guy. I'd find this guy and his brother. And it would be fun. It would be fun. Okay. And of course, this is like I have all of Batman's powers and physical strength and I'm not a woman, but I wish I could be Batman. And then I'd find Ilhan Omar and I'd take that stupid turban off her head and take pictures and show everybody that she's a bald-headed, inbred goat fucker who has no place in our country, much less in our government. Okay. And then I'd go and get all of the daycare centers and I would just take care of them. You know what I mean? You guys know what I mean? You know what I mean? Where's Ted Kaczynski in this piece? Okay. The malicious prosecution of Shiloh Hendricks hinges on fighting words doctrine. No law was ever passed restricting the First Amendment in cases of fighting words. Rather, fighting words doctrine was established as case law by the Supreme Court in Chaplinsky versus New Hampshire in 1942, stripping First Amendment protection when words, by their very utterance, inflict injury or tend to incite an immediate breach of the peace. While the new Supreme Court has never reversed the Chaplinsky decision. Come on. Okay. While the new Supreme Court has never reversed the Chaplinsky decision, it has greatly narrowed its application in numerous subsequent decisions to the point where convictions based on fighting words are exceedingly rare. This, of course, didn't stop Rochester city attorneys, who we saw, from pursuing a self-evidently innocent white mother on these grounds, regardless of how ridiculous the charges are in their face, because they're sending a message to everyone in America. That's why, guys. It's not about whether they can actually succeed in this. Applying fighting words doctrine to the full circumstance of the Shiloh Hendricks incident reveals how impossibly far-fetched the charges truly are. Hendricks herself is the party who was incited, as you guys saw, right? He was the one harassing her. She didn't say anything to anyone until the Somali child/thief stole from her. And they first tried to say it was like a 5-year-old autistic boy. It turns out it was just a 10-year-old regular Somalian retard. And they all claimed to be autistic because they bring like 18-year-olds in and they're like, he's 12. He's just special. And then the white liberals in Minnesota are too racist to be like, wait, that's impossible because I'm looking at you. They're like, well, we don't know how it is in their culture. And you're just like, God, for the love of God, it's time for a culling. Okay. All right. She didn't say anything until the thief stole. That's the moment the adult Somali sex pest, which is true, began filming and haranguing her. The Somali sex pest himself says the word. I can't say it because we're on YouTube. 5 times during the 1-minute video, Shiloh Hendricks says the word to Somali sex pest after the Somali sex pest demands she says the word. I understand that the first charge of disorderly conduct is specifically for uttering the N-word at the Somali child thief, and the second is for uttering it at the adult Somali sex pest who asked her to say it. What I've described above are the actual verified circumstances, as you guys saw from the video that I showed you, in which she made those utterances. She was physically in retreat, which is true, from the Somali sex pest as he continuously pursued her, demanding that she say it while on video. That the charges were ever brought, that this case is currently in court, is utter insanity. But the prosecutors resurrected the legal dead horse, believing they can use it to convince a jury to cast aside the First Amendment and convict an innocent white mother for uttering words. Because what they really, what she's really guilty of is being white and being proud and not backing down. And again, they are trying to establish this legal precedent. They want you to know you can't just say whatever you want. That's why that Portland case happened where this guy got stabbed by a homeless guy. And then the homeless guy claimed that the guy called him the N-word. And then they were like, oh, okay. And there were no charges. And then it turned out he called him the N-word after he got stabbed. But the Portland fucking blue-haired zombie fat tards were like, well, and he must have known he was racist. He had mental power, so he deserved it. Peace. Peace. Peace until we can have our way, folks. When you guys do erect that army, please call me. I don't know how much use I'll be, but I would like to. I would like to. Okay. Remember, the barefaced insanity of it doesn't mean that there won't be conviction. We're living in an anti-white anarcho-tyranny where tenets of white supremacy, like truth, evidence, reason, and logic, carry no weight. This is what happens when they're turning the world into global Zimbabwe, and you will be tried on the basis of your inherited guilt as a white person. If fighting word doctrines was applied evenly across society, the majority of human beings would be convicted for saying words. What's happening to Shiloh Hendrick lays bare the anti-white nature of the justice system. That's correct, guys. Our justice system has been usurped and taken against us. Even if she's found not guilty, the system has already punished her through this entire sham of a legal process. Okay, so there you go. This is important for everybody to understand this. Here's Shiloh. Shiloh did a good job with the way she dressed herself because she has some tattoos. So she wore, the whole time she's wearing long sleeves and dresses and looking feminine and demure, which actually is probably going to make these psychos who are out for blood more out for blood. But it's good. It's a good image to have. So that was smart on her part. Very smart. Okay. Okay, here's what's important here, okay, because by the way, Tom Hennessy, who is an awesome guy on X, let's see if I can bring up his page. He's been covering the trial and giving us updates. So this is, if you guys want to stay posted on that, that's some good stuff there. But he's been covering how the father of the child, who is not the guy who was at the park. So this is one of those things that they're also leaving out, by the way, okay? They will have these Somali stealing gangs that are run by like Somalians, like that Omar guy that I showed you, dude in his like 20s to 30s, who gets a squad of young Somalian children, anywhere from the ages of 5 to 15, and has them running around stealing things because they understand that they can't be convicted. I see, it's what I'm saying. How do they know about our legal system? How do these 65 IQ tards who just rob each other in the desert know about our legal system? Someone is telling them. Okay, because they get here and they instantly exploit it. They exploit it for the medical coverage. They tell that they're 20 something year olds or just like a 15 year old dummy, and then they're eligible for all of this financing and medical coverage. But anyway, I'm getting sidetracked because I'm getting so heated. They take these squads of children ages 5 to 15 or even 16 and have them run around town stealing things, thieving things. And there's usually a supervisor watching them. That's like this guy who's just keeping track, and that's who they're bringing the things to. And by having the kids do it, you can't really try them because they're underage. So this guy, it's very likely that the guy who was filming Shiloh, you paid attention enough to watch this kid steal and not stop him and not say anything until the mother stopped him, which is really what pissed you off because you feel entitled to stealing. But you didn't stop him, right? So to me, it's like, oh no, this is part of this thing that they do where they have a squad of kids who are going around stealing because white people, so dumb, lived in a trusting Minnesota, used to be one of the safest places. And so they could leave their diaper bag out there while their kid played. And the Somalis are like, oh, dumb whiteys, we're going to come in and steal. And likely he was the goon who was in charge, and he got upset that his little outfit got caught. And then he saw another opportunity for making money because he's seen all these videos going viral where you film a white person saying the N-word and then you get famous and you get a whole charity GoFundMe crap. But it didn't turn out that way. And so now the secondary prize is to get her to go to jail. Okay, so that's the part that they're leaving out, that they purposely do this. So they try to claim that this kid who stole from Shiloh was 5 years old, and it turns out, and that he was autistic. It turns out he was 10 years old because they're just trying to play on the emotional heartstrings. Okay, and then the child of the father, Shamir Jamali. Once again, we should never have to say these names in this country, okay? The father of the child who was caught stealing from Hendrick's diaper bag was questioned by the state and required two interpreters to understand the questions that were being asked. Why do you need two interpreters? Like, you don't even understand your own language? For the love of God, okay? So Tom Hennessy is there, and he said, Jamali apparently had to have the same question translated multiple times due to not understanding what was being asked. Actually, it was so that he could think of a lie. He also testified he's currently working as a bus driver, despite clearly not being able to understand English. That's awesome, dude. Awesome. Let's get this guy who can't even understand his own language, can't speak English, can't read English, driving where he has to read signs and read it and interpret it. Like, can I get off at this exit? In charge of a bus. Hopefully of your children. Hopefully of your children. It was also discovered that Jamali's child was 8, I think they said 10, whatever, 8 at the time of the incident, not 5 years old, as was originally being spread online. And Jamali stated that he didn't go to the police until over a week after everything happened, when he probably got a nice visit from the goblins who came and said, you know, we could make you very rich if you help us lock up this white woman for what she did to your child. Over a week after everything happened, contradicting himself multiple times on the stand regarding fundraising after the incident. That's right. He started a fundraiser after the incident, and then he contradicted himself. Hendrick's defense attorney argues that the charges are unconstitutional, protected by free speech, and that Hendrick was provoked into her reaction after being recorded by another man who had no relation to the child and was later found out to have a criminal record of essaying kids. Let's make sure we put that in there, essaying kids. Closing arguments are scheduled for today, and then the final decision regarding the two charges, one regarding the Somali who filmed her and the other regarding the alleged conduct towards the child, will be left to the jury, which is made up of 3 men and 5 women. I hope the women are racist, for the love of God. Put me on a jury. Put me on a jury. I'll be fair. If found guilty, Hendrick could face... Okay, so let's... She does look like that actress. I forgot her name. Anyway, as you can see, Shiloh's doing a good job with her dress. She's appearing very, conservative dress and not looking like trash. So I salute her on that. Yeah. And meanwhile, she's being harangued and put through this circus court. While this beast of a woman, Judge Shannon Flaherty, let an Indian illegal who killed 3 people with his truck out of jail with less than 5 years in prison. So this is why we live in an anti. Can you imagine? This guy literally killed 3 people because he probably couldn't read signs, just like the Somalian dad, but he was driving a truck. Awesome. Awesome. Okay. Let's go to this. Okay, yeah, so this was what was some of the important stuff here. So this is Tom Hennessy breaking down what was happening. Day one, they were trying to find the jurors, and out of the jurors, out of the 16 prospective jurors, almost all of them mentioned Facebook, television, IG, and TikTok, and only one said Twitter. So that means we only had one potentially based juror. Like, if you don't use Twitter for your news, if you're not getting information from Twitter, you're misinformed. Can guarantee it. Because X is not a total free speech platform. There's things we get censored for, but you can actually find a lot more than anywhere else. So only one potentially based juror there. Okay. Let's see what else we got. Yeah, this is where Tom Hennessy reported on how the state's first witness, the father of the child, testified the child was actually 9 years old at the time of the incident, now would be 10. So that's actually the correct information. That's where I got that he was 10 years old. This is what's important. He further testified that his kid wears a police-installed ankle monitor because the child runs off 2 to 3 times per day and must be held by the hand at all times. I mean, at 9 and 10 years old, guys, 9 and 10 years old, have you guys been around any 9 or 10-year-old white kids? They're not running off like lunatics, okay? Running off like a lunatic is something like a 3 to 4-year-old does because they're still a toddler and they don't understand anything. By the time the kid's 9 or 10, like, they understand rules. So these are the kind of feral savages they're bringing into your country, folks. Okay, so here's where Tom Hennessy gave us the evidence that the father was lying. Okay, so when they were questioning the father, they needed two interpreters rotating every 30 minutes. The viral video was then played for the jury in the courtroom after laborious, often repetitive, and seemingly coached questioning by the state. The father eventually stated that he saw his son take an item from Shiloh's belongings. Why isn't the whole family in jail? Why? Put the whole family in jail. You don't have to separate families. Put them in jail together. I don't care. He said Shiloh chased after the boy. Yeah, because you're stealing my shit. I should just give it to you? And he believed she was pursuing him not only to retrieve her property, but also to rumble with or strike him. See, this is where a good lawyer would say, objection. This is a supposition. The witness is reaching. They don't know if this is true. I forgot what the exact legal words are. I'm not a lawyer, but, you know, we all watch movies. Objection, you know, that's conjecture, you know, because it is. You don't know what she was going to do. Personally, I would have body slammed him. Personally, he would have been autistic after. I don't know if I can say any of this. Okay, so, yeah, so they actually did get to the part where, yeah, he stole and that he was being heavily coached. Okay, so the prosecution rested their case as of today, and the defense is going to call its first two witnesses in the morning, followed by closing arguments. They do expect okay, so let's see what the defense's case was. The defense called a Rochester police detective who interviewed the father 10 to 11 days after the incident. The detective confirmed that the father never once claimed that he feared Shiloh Hendricks would hit his son. So there we go. He decided to invent, after talking to the DOJ, I think she was going to hit my son. But when he was initially interviewed, the father said, no, he didn't think so. In fact, he never mentioned any fear of Shiloh doing anything during their entire interview. The judge, the fat judge, had to warn defense attorney Brian Carlos for contempt after he kept pressing the obvious point that GoFundMe is a well-known verified fundraising platform. I don't know why that would make you in contempt. Prosecutors tried to sell this as a simple open and shut case, claiming Hendricks's words were fighting words and her conduct disorderly. They insist it's about evidence, not emotion, while shamelessly leaning on the boy's alleged autism for sympathy, right? And it's just that he's not autistic, he's just Somalian. The defense made it clear the government is prosecuting a young woman for her language. Attorney Carlos rightly called this the result of years of cancel culture run amok in America. There's zero evidence Hendrick even knew what was stolen from the bag, let alone that the child was autistic. Carlos exposed how prosecutors are exploiting the boy's condition to manipulate the jury. Correct. If he's even autistic. The defense also hammered the father's after-shifting story and multiple lies on the stand. In his initial police interview on May 8th, he showed zero emotion and never expressed any fear that Hendricks would harm his son. Yeah, because nothing happened to him. Yet when he testified in front of the jury, he suddenly turned on the waterworks. He was also continually evasive and lied repeatedly when questioned about the GoFundMe that raked in $340,000. So he raked in a bunch of money. Now he wants to take it all home. Hendrick's reaction was completely understandable. She was responding to the theft of her property. Yes, her words were harsh. I don't think so. But they don't meet the legal standard for fighting words, and her behavior was not disorderly conduct. So people can steal from us and we can't say anything. People can stab us and we can't call. This is what I'm saying, guys. This is ridiculous. This is ridiculous. Burn the whole thing down. Burn it down. Well, there you have it, folks. A white woman on trial for saying the N-word to an immigrant Somali pirate who was trying to rob her and the sex pest who got her on tape. This is America. I've never seen a more privileged class than having brown skin in America, despite all the BS that they say. And the truly attacked and underprivileged class is the white man and woman, because, sorry, ladies, they don't really care about your feminism bullshit. They want you dead, too. But hopefully, this is a wake-up call, and we will have our day in the sun once again. The black sun, the gold sun, whatever, because we can't go on like this. Thanks for tuning in.